The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, as Ireland moves closer to the introduction of the EU Pay Transparency Directive, salary visibility has become one of the most pressing and unavoidable issues facing employers, recruiters and job seekers alike. While long viewed as a strategic recruitment tool, this lack of transparency can create uncertainty for candidates regarding role seniority, required competences and career progression. Under the forthcoming EU Pay Transparency Directive, such ambiguity will no longer align with evolving legal and cultural expectations around fair play and equal treatment. So, joining me now to talk about all of this is Avril Clare, founder and owner of Avril Clare Recruitment Limited. Avril, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
So this is finally happening.
It's finally happening, Pat. This will be one of the most significant changes that Irish employment law will see. And I took the opportunity just to revisit a questions and answers article that I had conducted in the Business Post last year, thanks to Tina Marie O'Neill and Áine Curran, who's the employment law solicitor from O'Mara Geraghty McCourt Solicitors. And we looked at the practical and legal impacts this will have on both employers and employees. I suppose, Pat, the EU Pay Transparency Directive was adopted by the EU Parliament 3 years ago, June 2023. And it gave its member states 3 years to implement this directive.
And time is up.
And time is up, Pat. It's on the doorstep now, yeah, with less than 6 months to go. So it's crucial now that we transposed into Irish law June 2026.
Now, have we done anything about drafting that law yet, do you know?
I believe that would be a question for Áine Curran, but I believe it's pending at the moment. So it will go live June 2026. But what that does, Pat, is it leaves an open window now. Employers really need, if I put it in layman terms, they really need to address the three O's, as I call it in layman terms. And that would be review their salaries, review their reporting practices, and review, most importantly, their recruitment practices.
Okay, so this is going to happen whether they like it or not. Now, some might want to jump the gun and recruit the people they think they'll need for the rest of the year before June, before
sure,
this thing is transposed into Irish law. But, you know, then after June, any recruitment is going to be subject to this restriction or transparency, whichever way you like to view it.
There'll be mandatory obligations and rules will be set in stone that have not been there historically. For example, job adverts, okay? At the moment, an employer or a recruiter can advertise a job and have no salary details in the job description.
And you can understand why they don't want to overpay, for example.
Exactly.
And equally, they want to have the flexibility if they get that really sterling candidate,
exactly,
to pay them more.
And also it attracts a wider pool of talent. So yeah, they might say 3 to 5 years experience, but they don't know whether if there'll be a person that applies with 5 years experience or 3 years experience. So it just widens the pool. And I suppose I know as a recruiter, if I advertise a job and I put the salary description in, I will get twice as many applications than a job advert if I put up a phrase like competitive salary or DOE, depending on experience.
So are you saying this is better in terms of responses if you give a precise salary?
It is, absolutely.
Or a salary range.
You'll get a wider pool of talent and you'll get a stronger calibre candidate applying, because I suppose it gives certainty around the seniority of the role and the career progression that the company is offering.
Will you be allowed to do a range, like say salary between 50 and 90k, for
absolutely
example?
There will be a range, but it will have to be specific in terms of years of tenure, you'll see years of experience.
Okay, so if you could advertise salary range between 50 and 90 dependent upon experience.
Exactly. But I think the preferred ruling will be that there's an exact salary. So if it's 80,000 euros, it's 80,000 euros. And there's, regardless of whether the candidate has been on 70 or 75 prior to that. But what that leads us into then, Pat, is the ban on asking a candidate what their previous or historic salary was.
So you've got your interviewee in front of you.
Yes.
Eventually, after seven rounds of AI has gone through your CV, you eventually have the candidate living and breathing in front of you. And you can say to them, by the way, what are you currently earning?
That's it, Pat. You took the words out of my mouth. So, you know, most employers would say to them, like, what is your current salary and what are your expectations and what would you accept? So going forward, I suppose all employers and recruiters would be prohibited from asking a candidate what their historic salary was.
I'm wondering, is this going to really annoy the Americans again, that the American companies here won't have that kind of flexibility? Because, I mean, on one level, you can think of this is great for employees. They know where they stand. On the other hand, you can think, well, a really, you know, star performer will be stuck at this grade, whatever. Or do you just take them in at the base salary with the promise during the interview, by the way, as soon as we get you through this hoop, we'll jack up your salary?
Well, no, because I think they will have to, you know, everyone would have to pass probation period, obviously. Most companies would have a 6 month probation period, which can be extended up to 12 months. So it would be all down to, you know, how somebody performs, the individual. I mean, if you take the civil service, for example, they've had grade increments for many, many years in terms of everybody knows what salary they're on, depending on the grade that they're in. So they've had open transparency for many, many years, whereas the public sector has to come up aligned with that now going forward.
Now, you mentioned gender there in your initial remarks. What's the story now about gender pay and equality?
Yeah, so the whole Transparency Directive is to close the gender pay gap and promote a fair workplace environment. So at the moment, the gender, looking at the EU Council, the stats are that women earn a staggering 12% lower salary than men across the EU and a whopping 26% pension gender pay gap, men versus women.
Yeah. Now,
so that's quite, again, they're quite staggering figures.
You know, the bald figures probably tell you nothing, because there'll be some women in jobs who have very fine pensions, depending on their service
the caliber and their role, exactly.
So the question of how many women opted out, for example, to have children for a few years, made no pension contributions, and therefore accrue less at the end. I mean, there are all sorts of things that you need to take into account to look at true equality.
Exactly. But I suppose that's like a million-dollar question, because if we look at the overall directive, I suppose, that they're also going to introduce a secrecy clause. So historically, employers, mainly in the corporate sector now, they could have implemented a secrecy clause into employment contracts where employees were forbidden to discuss their salary, pensions, benefits, etc. with other employees.
So the idea is to stop people becoming malcontents because Joe over there is getting twice what I'm getting.
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly.
Now, Joe may be twice as good as your man. However, your man will never recognise that he's only half as good as Joe. That's the truth.
Well, that's it, Pat, in a nutshell. And I suppose once this legislation comes into line, you know, there'd be no room for any of this. The ambiguity will no longer align with legislation.
What about bonuses? Do they come into this that, you know, people all earn on a particular grade, get X, but then you can look at performance bonuses at the end of the year and one employee gets Y, another gets A, another gets B, gets C, gets D.
A lot of bonuses are usually discretionary based on the individual, the team and the performance. But I suppose in terms of when somebody's applying for the job, there may be more clarity required around the percentage of the bonus that's going to be paid out.
So I'm just wondering, is that where the employer can still, under this
negotiate.
Rule, discriminate maybe? You know, does your face fit? You get a bigger bonus than if your face doesn't fit.
I would hope not. I would hope that wouldn't go on. But
some of the questions coming in: will salary range be transparent for jobs within the public sector as well? Now, we know the civil service, everything is you know, graded. If you're on grade A or B or C, we know what the salary range is. We know what the increments are. But in the wider public sector, you know, the
it will be across the board, all of Ireland, all of Europe.
Biggest problem with job adverts are the lack of exact location and salary. I'm inundated with job notifications from South Dublin when I have specifically said Fingal or North Dublin. It's infuriating.
This is a candidate.
Yeah, a candidate looking for a job. And saying specifically, I want to work in North Dublin or Fingal, and loads of people looking for him. Isn't he lucky so many people
But I think you can go onto some of the job boards like Irish Jobs or LinkedIn, and you can upload your CV and put in your specific requirements as to where your preferred location is. So that's what I would advise that listener to do.
Okay. Now, there's no deferring this. This is going to happen.
This is happening in June 20, less than 6 months away. And I mean, it's for employees, the directive is significantly increasing their workplace rights. There's no doubt about it. And workers will be entitled to inquire about what their salary rights are and what other comparable roles on the team are earning as well. And unjustified pay gaps of 5% or more will require employers to actually do a full review over salaries. And I suppose, according to the gender payback gap reporting, employers with companies of 250 or more will have to do an annual report on all their salaries. Employers with 150 to 249 will do it every 3 years, and organisations with employees of 100 to 150 will be phased in by 2031. Now, the last part of that, Pat, is companies who have employees with less than 100 will not be subject to mandatory reporting, but they are not exempt from the transparency obligations.
Okay, no reporting, but they still have to obey the new directive.
Exactly.
Very good. Avril Clare, founder and owner of Avril Clare Recruitment Limited. Avril, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.